All right, please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to read from verse 20 to 26. While you're turning there, you know, recently the English service is very inconsistent in terms of every week. Last week, we had, I think, at least 10 from Africa over here. We had 2 from Zimbabwe, 2 from Kenya, 1 from Zambia, 1 from
Gabon,
1 from Ghana, 1 from Uganda, and am I forgetting one more? I think that's it. So, yeah, 8. 8 from Africa. So, and then, and only a few Filipino, and then one white person from Australia. well, this week we have one white person. I praise the Lord every week. It's a new church. So okay. Here we are, Matthew chapter 5, and it's the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous and the greatest sermon ever preached. It's by our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is the foundation for what we are, how we live as Christians. So if ever you're wondering, what is the basic teaching of a Christian? What does Jesus teach about how to live as a Christian? It's the Sermon on the Mount. It's very likely that he went and he preached all of this in one sermon, but also it's very likely that this is a collection of talks and sermons that Matthew or Levi has compiled together. And it's a very specific and very intentional order in the way that he wrote this. And so, it's the Word of God. So we're going to read from the middle of it. We'll read from verse 20. This is going to be kind of weird. All right. So we'll read from verse 20. And then please join me at the second half from verse 23. So I'll read from the beginning. "For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raka,' is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell." Verse 23, let's read together. "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." The very words of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You know, it's interesting. Just as we are reading right now, I just remembered, you know, the Pharisees who are mentioned in verse 20, actually even now today, Orthodox Jews, you know, if you go to them This is a story from a Bible scholar who studied in Jerusalem. One day, he's a Christian, and he's studying in the University of Jerusalem, studying the Old Testament. And he was sitting next to other students who were Jewish, studying rabbinic teachings from the Bible. And he sat together with them at lunch, and they said, "Oh, you're a Christian. So tell us the teachings of your rabbi." And the best he could do, well, he could try to explain what he's been learning, but he says, no. They said, "No, tell us his words. What did he say?" And he was like, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Just one verse. And they said, "Oh, okay." Because the Pharisees, and even now Orthodox Jews, when they read the Bible, they're memorizing it. Not one verse. Not one paragraph. But by chapter. Or by book. So they don't memorize verses. They memorize books of the Bible. That's their righteousness. And so I was convicted when I heard that. Because what they'll do is they'll say to a Christian, "Tell us your master's teachings. Tell us what your rabbi tells you." And we can't even quote more than one verse oftentimes. But Jesus tells us, unless your righteousness, unless your character, unless your devotion to God is greater than the Pharisees, what are you doing? You know? But he said, "Oh, okay, so am I supposed to memorize books of the Bible? Is that what I'm supposed to do?" And so here in this sermon, he's actually showing us the difference between Pharisees' religion and his disciples' religion. If you follow Jesus as a disciple, what's the difference? Does it mean give more? Not 10%. The Pharisees give 20%. Does it mean pray more? Not just in the morning. The Pharisees prayed 3 times a day. Does it mean memorize more, read more? So what does it mean? So the first thing he says is talking about murder, talking about relationships. A Christian is a person who understands the law of relationships. And so in this very first meat section of his sermon, he's done the Beatitudes, it's the introduction. And then he talked about last week the relationship with the Old Testament. And now he's telling us, let's get right into the meat. And he says, my disciples, my followers, understand the law of relationships, how relationships work, because that's what life is about. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. So we look at verse 21. You have heard that it was said to people long ago, you will not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. So, if you look at verse 21, it says, you have heard that it was written? No, said. Other places, Jesus says, it has been written. When he says it's been written, he's talking about the Old Testament. For example, Satan, or the devil, comes to him and tries to tempt him in the desert. And Jesus' answer to the devil is, it is written. And he's talking about Deuteronomy. Right? But here it says, it is said. So what's he talking about? He's talking about the Pharisees from the previous verse. Unless your righteousness surpasses the Pharisees. Oh, by the way, you have heard from them. This is what they say about the Old Testament. Don't murder. Right? And so they have a teaching about the Old Testament. Okay? This is what they say. But I tell you. So here's the Pharisees, the most righteous. But here's me. And you'll understand who I am in just a moment. But what's the difference between the Pharisees and what I teach? The Pharisees say, if you take a knife and stab somebody, you're going to be judged. If you take a rock and hit somebody so they die, you're going to be judged. But I tell you, oh, murder is not done by the hand. Murder is done with the heart. Yeah. It's not a hand issue. It's a heart problem. So, the first point that Jesus is making is that bitterness is murder. So the word anger, right? It says, but I tell you that anyone who is angry, and that angry is not like rage. Okay, this morning I had a basketball game. I was coaching my basketball team. We lost 120 to 10 points. Yeah. The team was so strong. Usually I shout and get angry at my players. Come on! Run faster! Jump higher! Grab the ball! Why didn't you jump? Why didn't... And I... Okay? Today, there's no point to do that. We're losing by 100 points.
Wow.
Yeah. Just, oh, good job. You know? Oh, you're doing a good job. All right. This is not rage or, sudden anger. It's not hot fire. The word here that he's using is bitterness. It's the slow anger. It's the one it's the low heat in the simmering pot. Okay? That's where you're getting cooked. Your temper. It's the one where you look back at the argument or the fight that you had and you keep playing it again, playing it again. And, oh, I should have said this. Oh, if I had said that. Ooh. What that is a seed of bitterness. No, let's change it. It's not a seed. It's the sauce. Okay? And the devil puts it in your heart. It's the bitter sauce. He puts it in your heart and he has a low heat. And he lets you simmer in bitterness. And that little sauce begins to spread all through your life. And it changes the flavor of your relationships with others. So you become bitter. And you don't trust like you should. You don't open and be vulnerable like you should. And if it's that bitterness is about one person, Jesus says, be careful. You're just like Jeffrey Dahmer, Bin Laden. Okay, you're just like anyone on death row. It's their heart. But it's not only this bitterness that's the problem. He goes on and he says, again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, which is an Aramaic word, raka, is answerable to the court. Now, the reason why it's not translated into English is because it's very hard to translate this in English, because it's not just the word, it's actually an intention. I'm having trouble trying to translate it. Basically, you're saying, you're nothing. That's what it means. But it's not saying you're nothing. It's saying with your heart. It's saying that that person is a nobody. So here's what he's saying. He's saying, raka means saying, you are not worth my attention. I don't even want to acknowledge you. You send me a text, but because of my anger towards you, I'm not even going to answer. Or if I answer your text, I'm going to just be, just thumbs up or little emoji or maybe two words. That's fine. I'm okay. Why? Because you don't want to acknowledge who they are. And so what Jesus is saying is, you're trying to make them a nobody. Now please, You think it's harmless. I'm just trying not to be hurt again, so I'm trying to stay away from them. I understand. You keep your distance because trust has been broken. That's a natural response. But Jesus says, when you make somebody a zero or a less than zero, be careful, you're answerable to the court. Not my words, that's our Lord's words. Raka. Raka is they hurt you, and you won't respond to them. They insult you and you will ignore them. You make them less than nothing. Okay, it's getting dark. I understand. It's getting difficult. We'll get to the good news, but just get one more point. Okay? The next one is ridicule. Ridicule, Jesus says, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. So Jesus is talking about this word here, you fool. Now, the word there in the Greek, not the Aramaic, is moros. And that word we use in English, it's the word moron, idiot, orokamono, fool, okay, moron. So this is different from saying you're less than zero. This is saying, see, in here, the first one, raka, you're saying you're not worth my attention. You're not worth my time. You're not worth two words on my text. That's what raka is. This one, oh, you're giving them your attention. Oh, you're going to put the text on there. And what you're doing is you're pushing them down. And then when they're down, you're putting your foot on their neck. And you want to go, so what you're doing is you're attacking their heart. You're attacking their psyche. You're not hitting them physically. Oh, but you're going to take their head off with the knife and the sword of your mouth and your text. That's what this is. Okay? So the intent, Jesus is talking about your intention here. You really mean it. Okay? You're an idiot. You're good for nothing. Nobody cares about you. No one trusts you. No one wants to be with you anymore. How dare you? All of that. And Jesus says, you be careful now. You're heading in the Pharisee direction. Almost there. In danger of the fire of hell. Jesus spoke more about hell than any other preacher. We're afraid to talk about hell. We're afraid to tell people about hell, the reality of hell, and the judgment of God. But Jesus was not afraid. Jesus was the most loving person in all of history, and even he said, hell is real. Bitterness, apathy, ridicule, those are heart issues, heart problems. Yeah, okay. Now, let's go back here. Yeah, how do you heal it? How do you move forward in your life? Okay. So, you know the expression forgive and forget? That's not Bible, okay? We don't like that. Forgive and forget. Because it's impossible. If you're a human being, yeah. If you can forgive and forget, you're God, right? Yeah. We're trying to get there, okay? But God says, no. There's something better than forgive and forget. Also, there's one more expression. Live and let die. It's a famous song, right? Live and let die.
James Bond.
The James Bond one. Yeah. Live and let die. And, so some people say, just forgive and forget. And people with common sense says, that doesn't help anyone. That's impossible. And then other people say, just live and let die. In other words, just get on with your life. Let them go to hell on their own. Right? Live and let die. That's what that means. Christians can't say that. I'm going to live and you just go to hell on your own. That's not a Christian. That's not a disciple. So let's change it. Okay? I like this one. This is my original. Okay? Forgive and let live. I don't usually say, nothing I say is original except this one. Here. Okay? Let's say it together. Forgive and let live. Okay, that's enough. Okay. Now, where do we get this? Where do we learn it? It's from the spirit and the heart of Jesus. This comes from Psalm 103. If you're going to memorize any scripture, memorize this. This will heal you. This is the medicine that goes in and works slowly and brings healing. So, he will not, this is Jesus, this is God, this is the Lord. The Lord will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us, treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. Let me give you some one-point advice in order to bring healing to your life. Change he to I. Okay? Because that's what God is giving you the power to do through Jesus Christ. Okay? So let me show you. Oh God, I hate him! How could you let him do that to me? I will not always accuse, nor will I harbor my anger forever. I do not treat him as his sins deserve or repay him according to his iniquities. And then you pray this to Jesus. You pray this to the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is your love for those who fear you. And as far as the east is from the west, so far do you remove my transgressions from me. And I'm telling you, that's just verse 9 through 12. Read the whole chapter. Read the whole psalm. And put it in the tablet of your heart. And watch the Lord bring more patience and bring more gentleness and bring more kindness into you. Because it happens. It works. Because God gives us the power because Jesus rose from the dead. Okay? So that's forgive and let live. Okay? Now, Jesus is not finished. Now, that's if you have something against, somebody has wronged you. Okay? But that's only half of the story. What if you said something bad? Or you know what you did was wrong, and you don't know how to apologize. You don't know how to make up for it. And so what we do, if you're me, you're lazy. And you just say, And you try to just move on without it. And I'll just go to church. I'll ask for the Lord's forgiveness. Oh, the Lord knows my heart. The Lord knows I'm sorry. That's enough. No, Jesus says, no. You don't know how relationships work. Yeah, I know you're sorry. That does no good for you and him, or you and her. So Jesus says right here, clearly, if you are offering your gift at the altar, translation, if you are going to church, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, if you're the guilty one, leave your gift in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled with them, and then come and offer your gift. Get your priorities straight. It's not church and then people. Even if they're not Christian, even if they're unbelievers, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, as far as it depends on you, do everything in your power to live at peace with others. Yeah. So, your religion is useless. You're a Pharisee. You're a Pharisee. If you think coming to church and singing songs and giving the offering and reading the scripture is enough, your heart needs transformation. And how do you know your heart has been transformed? you'll say, okay, okay, we'll put church here, we'll put Bible study here, and we'll go to him, we'll go to her, okay, and we'll do everything we can. And I know it's hard because of pride and your arrogance, and you're actually in a higher position, and they're not in a higher position, and you're, no. Leave all of that out the door. You're a Christian now. The only one who is in a high position is the Lord. And at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. Amen? So we go. Right? Yeah. So, I think that's it. Relationship over religion. So, Jesus says that's what you got to do. Now, and then he'll go on and he'll say, look, if we're going to court, they're going to just avoid all of that. There's no need to make it legal. There's no need to go to the lawyer. Get it settled between you and a brother and sister. Yeah, it's the law of relationships. I have six kids, and you know that. So five of them are boys. I have one girl, the girliest of girls. Of all girls, if you met her, yeah, she has nothing blue or black or brown. It's all pink and purple and variations. Oh, and yellow, yeah. So the boys are boys. And so here's what I know from children. Children are very creative, and they make things very easily. They have a great imagination. But just as much as they're very creative, they're very destructive, okay? It's easy for them to make new things. It's easy for them to break things, too. Especially boys. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. We are children when it comes to relationships. Yeah. We grow up, but you know what? It's easy to make friends, especially even church. We meet Dion. Welcome to our church, and it's very easy to welcome somebody and get to know them. But you know what? It's also easy to break trust, to break relationships, insult, just by accident. We're children, right? And Jesus says, let me give you wisdom to help you grow up and become adults in relationships. That's what my disciples will be. That's the kingdom of heaven. People who have healed and restored relationships through the power of God. So Jesus gives us wisdom through this sermon, but God gives us power through Jesus Christ. All right? Now, Rwanda, I'm studying about Rwanda. Have you heard about the genocide in Rwanda? Familiar with that? 30 years ago, the Hutu versus the Tutsi. It was a political problem. And in the course of 90 days, 2 million people died from killing one another. So there's two possible results. The Hutu and the Tutsi could just live in separate regions, separate parts of the country, right? So Rwanda could be east and west, Hutu and Tutsi. That's one possible thing. But instead, if you go to Rwanda now, they've become one people. They've been galvanized. And here's one example. On the fourth Saturday of every month, there's a holiday. And everyone stops working. Nobody goes to school. Nobody goes to work. And everybody cleans. Cleans the roads, cleans the garbage, takes out the trash. And they have a festival, there's dancing, and there's music, and they are one people. Not Hutu, not Tutsi, they're Rwandan. And the country is very clean, very beautiful. There's no litter on the road because of that. Also, they don't use plastic, actually. They're a non-plastic country, single-use plastic. But anyway, that's nothing. But even from 30 years after genocide, they have learned to become a one people. And Jesus says, my kingdom, not one country, but the kingdom of heaven is a people who have had broken relationships healed by the wisdom and the power of God. That's the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen?
All right. So we praise God, we praise the Lord, and we ask Him for His power and His healing. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we close our sermon and our service today, give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. To set aside our pride, our arrogance, let us repent of our bitterness and anger. Help us to reach out and text someone. Help us to say sorry as much as we can. Lord, help us to be humble. Oh God, we need your power to do this. And Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.